Welcome home. I hope you feel that in this place. Today we are talking about the deep need that we have for that, being loved and cherished and belonging, and how God has a heart for that, and He gives that to us, either through our families or for some, through the church. But we've been in this series called How to Love People. We are talking about these four different groups of people that God often puts a highlighter on in the Bible from cover to cover. There's 300 and some different references to widows and orphans, to the foreigners, or those who are other than us that live in our community, and then the poor. One step at a time. Last week, we talked about races being reconciled through Jesus Christ. Next week, we talk about the poor being empowered. How to give them a hand up and not just a hand out, but to really help those who are financially hurting. And then this week, we talk about orphans. Orphans embrace those kids who don't have that sense of home. I did a little research. There are, according to up till this weekend, there are 17,920 children in foster care in Illinois. 17,900. Now, 3,347 of these children are waiting for adoptive families. 3,300. That number isn't overwhelming to me. I think the church could knock that out. But I don't know how that feels to you. I don't know if those numbers overwhelm you or not. But no matter how high the number, and it's estimated to be around 400,000 children in the foster care system in the United States, no matter how high that number is, there are still more Christians than there are needy kids. See, God is going to completely explode your life today, somebody out there. You didn't know that when you came in the door, but I think that's true. God is going to rock you. Some family that walked in the door today, but some of you have tuned out already. Oh, you're talking about kids. Excellent. I can check out because I don't even like kids. Some of you, right? This is what I have to say to you. What did the New Testament lesson from James tell us today? Don't be just a hearer of the word, but do what it says. Do what it says. And God has a lot to say about His heart for kids who are displaced or neglected or hungry or in need. A lot. And this is my thesis statement for the day. Okay? The church is God's plan A to help children who are in need. The church is God's plan A to help children who are in need. And we know there are a lot of needy children right here, right next door. So let's pray. Lord, I am asking for some miracles, and I believe in miracles. And I believe that You are here. By the power of Your Spirit and the clarity of Your Word, You're going to cut through the clutter of our distracted life and our self-centered attitudes. You are going to break some hearts and bind some up, and You are going to set some kids in families. I believe that You are at work right here, and I'm humbled to be in Your presence, Lord. But speak and work and win the day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. James 1:27 says this: Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That is what religion is supposed to look like. Religion that God the Father accepts as pure That leads me to believe there's probably all kinds of other religious trappings that God doesn't accept as pure. But if you want to be accepted in the eyes of God, this is what your religious life looks like. Looking after orphans and widows in their distress and keeping oneself from being polluted by the world. Caring for those in need is so close to the heart of God. Loving and caring for those in need like children, and I would say especially children. Because God has a heart for the vulnerable ones and the powerless ones. And in society, above all others, I would say, little kids. They have no power. And God loves them. And this concern for those who cannot help themselves, think about it. It is a central theme of the gospel, isn't it? Because in our sin, we're stuck and we're just kids with no power. We're broken. And we have no home and no family. But God's a rescuer. His heart is for the vulnerable and the weak. And He is for the orphans. I want to tell you just a couple of stories. This first picture up here, a couple of kids that live in our neighborhood. This was from our backpack bash. Tiffany and Joel live over in South Wind. Tiffany struggles with substance addiction and she's in and out of treatment. They have 9 children in their apartment and she's pregnant with number 10 right now. Pregnant with number 10. And they can barely feed the 9 they have now. But Tiffany and Joel are friends of ours. So we help them out. They come to our events. They don't come to church yet, but I'm praying. And you pray too for Tiffany and Joel. And these are 3 of the 9, 3 of the 10. If you look at the next picture, this is a picture of our backpack bash this year. Marie is in line. That's the only picture I have of her, and you can't even see her back there getting ready to get some food. But when I talked about this gal a couple of weeks ago, this single mom with 4 kids with nothing, that's Marie. I've been talking to her. I think she moves into her new apartment this week. Several people from our church have contacted me and says, I have a bed. I have a mattress. I have a dining room table. And she's got nothing, but now Marie and her kids will have a place to lay down. Third picture. This is our friend. Some of you remember Viola, and that's Lashaya. Her other kids were Alize and Najee. And then there were a couple others that were in and out. Hard to keep track of. Viola's grandma to these kids. When I first met Viola, she came walking into our, right through our front door in tears, and she said she was this close to just throwing herself in the river. She had no hope and no home. And she had these grandkids to take care of, and she was at low, low tide. But we loved her. And she came, and the kids came. And they heard the love of Jesus. She came to know the Lord. And she's walking with Him. And it's a rocky road with Viola. But she loves Jesus. Because in Him, she found hope for the first time. Now I know some of you right now, because I know you guys. I know some of you right now would say, how can I help? What can I do? And why is your heart compelled to help these people in our neighborhood? I think it's because you saw their faces and you heard their names and you started to hear a little bit of their story and it compels you. But I want to remind you that these 400,000 kids in our foster care system in this country, they all have names. And they all have faces and they all have a story. There's not a single one of them that's just a number or a statistic. They're precious, eternal souls with a name and a story. Every kid, every orphan. See, society's broken in many ways, and I don't have to tell you that, but I want you to think about this. Who pays the highest price? We have broken families. If you go over to South Wind and Harbor Village, you'll see the extent of fatherlessness, divorce, poverty, substance abuse, incarceration, homelessness, domestic abuse, gang violence, racism, rampant teenage pregnancy, human trafficking. And I could go on and on, but I ask the question, who pays the highest price for every one of those problems? It's the kids, isn't it? The children. Everyone. Children do. Those who didn't cause these problems and those who have no power to make them any better. The kids pay the highest price. Psalm 82 verses 3 and 4 reminds us of what God's A plan looks like. He says, defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. That's God's A plan. Church, he's talking to you. Defend the weak and fatherless. Rescue the weak and the needy. And I think most people, just generally good people, I put that in air quotes, right? We're all corrupt by sin. But most people, I would say, want to help out someone in need in a general way. They want to help out as long as they don't get too close. I want you to tell you a couple of stories about how this looks in real life. My wife, Amy, when she was a little girl, she was always telling me that she was like the queen of the rescue unit for the little animals in her neighborhood. She was always finding little baby animals or a bunny who'd been chomped by the neighborhood dog, right? Or little baby birds, and she would bring them home, and she would wrap Gloria into this, her mom. And so the two of them were like this little MASH unit on their block for wounded animals. Why? Why? Because they're cute, that's why. Little defenseless animals are cute. Now, my son, we're working on trying to find the right dog for him. So we've been going to PetFinder.com. PetFinder, which helps you adopt animals. And I just went on PetFinder, and I wanted to show you this picture of this puppy. Can you find, is it not there? No. Oh, I didn't put it in there. Okay, here's the point. The puppies they put on PetFinder.com are fluffy and little, and they're playing with strings and cute stuff like that. They don't have one eye sticking out sideways and hair crooked, right? Because they're cute. They're cute. We have this inside us. And so society rallies around that. Save the puppies, right? Save the little birdies. Save the turtles, save the whales, save the spotted owls. God says, save a child. Save a child with an eternal soul. If you want to invest your energy and your attention, pour yourself out for somebody who cannot help themselves. Because God cares about these children more than we can possibly imagine. And who is God? By the way, because I believe Scripture is pretty clear that He calls us to live like Him, to be like Him. So who is God? Psalm 68, 5 and 6 says this, God is a father to the fatherless. A defender of widows is God. In His holy dwelling, God sets the lonely in families. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. See, God has His eye out for those little kids who don't have mom and dad, who don't have a support system, the loneliest. God watches them. He knows. And then He turns His head, and do you know who He looks to? The church. God is looking for somebody so He can pick these kids up and set them in families. What does God do? He keeps His eye on the lonely kids. And He's looking through our church right now. What if God has his eye on your family or your home? I see some of you are looking away from me right now. You don't want to make eye contact. What if? What if God is looking at your family? What if you are the answer to a child's prayer? I want a mom and dad so bad. Do you hear me, God? He does. What does God do? He sets the lonely in families, and maybe he's talking to you right now. Now, some of you are getting a little uncomfortable, and you're saying, we have a lot going on. Our calendar is full. Our life is full. This just isn't where we are in life right now anymore. I can't take in a foster kid. I can't adopt a needy child right now. And for most of you, you're right. Okay? You're right. But I don't want to let you off the hook just yet. This is what I ask. Before you say no, no. Would you do this? Would you just pray about it? I know some of you don't even want to pray that prayer, but would you pray about it? And listen. Listen. I want to show you some friends of ours. This first picture is the Chapmans. These guys live right in Newark, actually. And if you do the math on that racial mix, you'll notice some of them are not their biological children. The Chapmans have a full, busy family. And they had a full, busy family before they started adopting. But they are wildly happy that they did. And I'm not saying it's easy, by the way. Not saying it's easy, but it's good. This next picture, our friends Myrna and Lucas, they're from St. Michael, Minnesota, Living Hope Church, where I came from. When I knew Lucas and Myrna best, see that tall blonde in front of her mom there, that's Ava, that was their only daughter. And they adopted four siblings all together. So they went from a family of one child to a family five kids overnight. They have their own basketball team, just like the Skogerbos. This next picture are my friends Kevin and Robin White. They're from up near the Elgin area. Kevin worked in the Awana ministry organization for many, many years, and he's been a dear friend of mine forever. And they had two girls, and they felt as they prayed about it, God was calling them to adopt from overseas. This little girl, Adelina, down in the front corner, is from China. And she was in an orphanage there, along with many, many other kids. Had a little crib. That was about it. And Kevin and Robin just brought her home a few months ago after a long process and lots of prayer and a lot of money that God provided for them. Kevin said, we realize this is our calling. That was what God put us on earth to do, become a family to the children who have no family. And that's how God uses his plan A, the church, when people say yes to loving little people who need a home. And I want you to think about this. If you do let a child into your home, and if you say yes to God, and you welcome a child with no home into your family, you may never be more like God than you are in that moment. That might be the most God-like thing you do when you invite someone into your family. Why? Because if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that's exactly what God did to you. I was a spiritual orphan, is what happened. And I had no family, and I was lonely, separated from God and from all of you. But God places the lonely in families. And he picked me up and rescued me. And he placed me into his family. As a child of God, I was adopted into God's family. You became a child of God. You were rescued from your loneliness and your isolation. He gives you a home among the saints, A place where you belong to Him forever and you're made a child of God. Ephesians 1:5 says this. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. That is what He wanted to do. And it gave Him great pleasure. And I love that. God didn't just feel obligated to fix what we had screwed up. He was eager to adopt us and bring us into His family, and it gave Him great pleasure to do that. I'm so glad that He didn't do that begrudgingly, but enthusiastically, with joy. He welcomed me. Now I want to talk about, some of you are just, I know that adoption, this talk about bringing someone in, it's a bridge too far for you. I want to talk about foster care, okay? Some of you are saying, I could never do that. To love these kids and then have to give them up. It would just rip my heart out. And you know what? You're right. You are right. It will. It will absolutely tear you up. But the question to ask isn't, will this hurt? The right question to ask is God calling me to it? One foster family said, if it doesn't hurt, you're not doing it right. If it doesn't hurt, you're not doing it right. When did serving God become about our convenience and comfort anyway? I understand you may want to protect your heart from breaking, but there are children with broken hearts right now that need healing. Are you willing to risk a little pain to help bind up an already broken-hearted kid who has no home? And I don't want to guilt any of you into anything. Never, ever, ever. Never want to use guilt that way. I just want our church to recognize that we are God's plan A. We're it. And if the Holy Spirit speaks to you and nudges you, and you do say yes, if you do, I can promise you two things. Number one, it'll be one of the hardest things you've ever had to do. Welcoming a child into your home is not easy. And it comes with a lot of work, comes with frustrations, comes with tears. Just about in every case. Just like having kids, by the way. That's what happens. But I'll tell you this, number two, it may come with pain, but it will be worth it. Will be worth it. Everyone can't adopt or do foster care, but I believe that everyone can do something. So, what do I do? What do I do? Well, number one, you can speak to and support and lend influence and encouragement to anybody willing to take this on to help out a child. We've got a big team here. I want you to start seeing yourself as part of a family who could do this together. See? Might not be your house, but maybe it is. But if it's not your house, maybe you have some financial resources to help cover the cost of an adoption. Maybe you can provide meals or childcare. Maybe we can rally as a church around a couple of families. Who knows what He's going to do? You know, another thing that we can do, we can support single moms and their kids. And our neighborhood is absolutely chock full of moms trying to do it on their own. Man, we can love those moms well and love their kids. There was a family, our God kids, Cara and Matt. Their mom, Chris, went through a divorce and she just couldn't stay at the house anymore. She didn't want to be there. So she and her kids moved in with our kids, moved into our house. Lived with us for several months, and then after a while, she moved out into their own place. She fell in love with an Ecuadorian man who had snuck across the border, actually. Married him. And U.S. Customs said, in order for you to remain here legally, you got to go back to Ecuador for a year. She had two other children with Freddie. Freddie had to go back to Ecuador, so come on in, Chris. Chris and the kids moved in with us. Became part of our family again. So when I went to seminary and lived in seminary housing, Mary Lee in the front office said, "Now, I know you have a habit of letting people just randomly move in with you, but you can't do that here," she said. That was our way of loving those who needed support, vulnerable people. That's something you can do. Alicia, you know all about that. Maybe you're called to adopt a child or to be part of the foster care system, and maybe you've never thought of it before, but you need to think about it and pray. And I want to talk about this, mentoring. And the statistics are off the charts for kids with no dad around. We could see these kids, little girls, little boys, become their dear friends and their advocates and their cheerleaders. Let them know how valuable they are. Their rates of high school graduation skyrocket. Drug abuse, alcohol abuse goes way down. Truancy rates at school drop way down. College, way up. In every way, if a kid has one adult in their life, other than their parents, who are feeding them encouragement that they feel they can trust and is on their team, it makes a world of difference. Do we see the kids who are coming in our doors for who they are? I want to tell you a little story from Pastor Craig Greshel. He's the pastor of LifeChurch.tv. He came in, and there was a girl who came into his church for the first time, a teenager, and he went to shake her hand and welcome her, and she recoiled from him. And her foster care giver said, "Well, she's been sexually abused by so many men that she doesn't trust any men at all." Craig understood that. But each day as she would come in week after week, he would wave at her. And one day he talked to her and just said, "I know you're not a hugger, but I'm so glad you're here. Can I get a high five?" He started with a high five, and then he said to her, "You know, someday you might be in the mood for a hug. And if you're ever in the mood for the hug, would you do me the honor of being the first one to do that?" She came coming back week after week, and one morning she said, "Pastor Craig, I think I'm in the mood for that hug." So he said he gave her the softest, quickest side hug and then stepped away. And week after week, she continued to come back, and pretty soon, each day she would come into church and she would run to him and wrap her arms around him and get a big bear hug. And he said she would squeeze and squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. And she told her foster caregiver, "You know what? I can trust one man, Pastor Craig. And if I can trust one man, then I have hope that someday a man might love me, and maybe I could trust him with my heart too." So he said, "See, you don't have to do something huge and expensive and difficult, but see these kids and love them. I hope that they come in the door and they don't even know what's happening to them. All these people are loving them, friendly to them, listening to them." There's so many ways right in this community we can love people, especially some of the most vulnerable here. Right here in Montgomery and in Aurora across the street. Women, maybe you could throw a baby shower for a single mom or an adoptive family, or maybe for Tiffany. Kids growing up with no father figure, no male presence to be a leader and a role model and a guide. Men, step up. Challenge these guys. Show them what it means to be a godly man and to live for Jesus. Maybe some of you have never considered before, "I ought to serve in our youth group. We have a need right now. We're growing our team as more kids come in the door." Maybe you're called to do that. Volunteer once a month or every 2 months. Even better, I know Joe has a dream of connecting up those of us in the older generation with students from the younger generation in mentoring kind of relationships. Maybe that's what you're called to do. So some of you maybe could provide respite care for those who are doing foster care. There's a million ways we can help. And I tell you this, if you make a difference in the life of a child, you may not change the world, but you will change the world of that child, period. You will flat out change their world. We adopted Joshy. I want to tell you about just a few moments from that. Number one, I remember the night that Amy gave me a phone call. And we were thinking about maybe it was time to have another baby. Levi was like 1.5. And Amy called me up and said, "Listen, I want to talk to you about something. Are you sitting down?" It was one of those calls. And she said, "I've got a friend who works in the cafeteria at our school, and she's taking care of a little baby. And I was talking to her and asking about him, and she said, well, actually, we've been praying for a family with kids that might take him in." And Amy went, And she called me and asked me to pray about it, and I'll tell you, I had such a calm peace about it. Like, man, that feels just feels right. I think God is maybe opening a door here. And that's a big deal to say, yeah, let's welcome a child in. But it didn't ruffle me at all. It just was right. So pray. God might surprise you. Second of all, I wanted to talk a little bit about his process. It took 3.5 years for Josh's adoption to be finalized because he's part Native American. That's why he has a better tan than all of us. And the Indian tribe was tangled up in the process, and it just took forever. And our lawyer said it was the most difficult and the most expensive. And she didn't at all expect that we were going to come out the other end being able to adopt him, because it just doesn't happen. We didn't have a dime in the bank, by the way. God just provided everything we needed, a step at a time. Though there was struggle in it and paperwork, he was there through the process. And then came the day when we went to court. And the judge was this beautiful Native American woman who knew the significance of our adoption. And Amy and I raised our hands and we swore to love him and to take care of him every day. And I'll tell you what, it felt just like getting married. And the tears ran down our faces, caught me totally by surprise, because we were committing to take him into our family. And it was a vow. And when we walked out of that courtroom, Joshy was a Skogerbo forever. And nobody could change that. Whew. I want you to dream with me. What if every single mom in our community knew that we love them? We can't meet every need. But what if they knew that this is a place that loves them? What if we had a waiting list for Sunday school teachers and youth group helpers because we had too many people from our church eager to serve kids? What if a teenage girl or a young woman finds herself surprised by an untimely pregnancy? She knows she's ill-equipped to care for a new baby. And what if, instead of running away from the church because she expects rejection and judgment and shame from us, what if instead she chooses to run toward the church and she says, at least I have a church family who will love me and embrace me and help me find a great family for my child. See, the church is God's plan A to help children who are in need. And if we step up, and if we say yes, even though it will cost us, even though it will be difficult, it will be worth it. And this what if could be true if we, the church, St. Olaf, if we would simply be willing to pray
And when he leads us, we say yes.
Because then we're perpetuating the gospel that God sets the lonely in families. What a powerful picture of what Jesus did for us. We can't all do everything, but we can all do something, can't we? So let's pray. Lord Jesus, would you do something in us that we don't expect this morning? I pray, Lord, that you would give us Spirit-led direction as to how we can love the orphans in our community. And even those vulnerable kids who come from homes that aren't stable. Lord, would you show us what you want us to do and help us to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen.